I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas, and my guest today is Archie McLaren, who is the founder and chairman of the Central Coast Wine Classic, which is coming up soon. It's August 10th through the 14th in both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. Welcome, Archie.
Thank you, Marisa. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Likewise. So, Archie, this is the 31st year for the Wine Classic. But there are people who might not know actually even what a wine classic is. What does that mean? Or how it supports the community? Can you give us a little background?
The Wine Classic is a comprehensive array of activities involving fine food and fine wine and their symbiotic relationship. And in the process of being a wine classic, it also promotes the area where tourism is taking place. For example, when we first started the Wine Classic in 1985, and KCBX was the beneficiary and the stalwart infrastructure, it really helped not just KCBX, but it helped San Luis Obispo County quite a bit. And it supported the chefs, the hotels, the wineries, all kinds of things that were a part of this culture.
And now the beneficiaries change every year.
Well, yes, that in fact, you're right. Now the beneficiaries are the healing arts, performing arts, and studio arts. And since 2004, we've donated grants to 125 San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County nonprofits of $2.5 million, roughly.
That's a lot.
It is. It seems to me that it is.
The Wine Classic looks a little bit different this year. The first couple of days focus on San Luis Obispo County, and then everything transitions to Santa Barbara County. Tell me about this transition into more of a Santa Barbara presence.
Well, we've been supporting Santa Barbara's wineries since day one. My initial radio program here back in the 80s, The Wine Drinker's Guide to Indulgence, several of the first interviews that I did were Santa Barbara vintners. Gary Mosby and some of the other people who meandered around and about. They may not have been in Santa Barbara at the time, but they ended up that way. And a lot of them were already in Santa Barbara. Jim Glendenin from Obunkley Ma and all these other great people, Doug Marjoram. And so I thought it might be a really great idea to actually move something into Santa Barbara County because it's a vibrant area. I mean, if you start with Buellton and meander down into Santa Barbara, can you think of anything that's not vibrant about that climate, so to speak? That particularly the arts, athletics, food and wine.
Mm-hmm. What makes the Central Coast the right place for a major wine event like the Central Coast Wine Classic?
Microclimates. The microclimate of feeling good no matter where you are in that area because of the fact that you're not living in Tupelo and it's not 95 degrees and 95% humidity. I mean, the climate is incredible for comfort. The other part of it is the microclimates are ideally amenable for grape varieties, not just one or two, but a number of them. And so you can go 15 minutes and find another microclimate where Malbec or Cabernet Sauvignon is more applicable to that particular terroir than Pinot Noir is. Another 10 or 15 minutes in another direction, and there you are in Chardonnay and Pinot Noir territory.
So it's the variety of the varietals.
It's incredible. And those vineyards, actually, if you think about it, if you start at the far west out near Lompoc and come toward the east to Santa Ynez, are gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
I'm imagining then because of all of the microclimates we have, we can't say that the Central Coast is known for one particular kind of wine or another. We have certain ones that we keep hearing about, but do you feel like there's something that the Central Coast does best?
Well, the Central Coast appellation, the description of what Central Coast means in wine terms, begins in San Jose and ends in Ventura.
That's huge.
Yes, it's huge. And so in Paso Robles, for example, Cabernet Sauvignon and Bordeaux varietal grapes like Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, Cabernet Franc are extraordinary. On the other hand, they're more extraordinary in certain parts of that climate. If you go to the west side, a little south of the town of Paso Robles, you're looking at Rhone varietals doing extraordinarily well, like Syrah and Mourvedre and things like that. And if you go a little further south of that, where the Templeton Gap is, and you have the ocean breezes coming in off the ocean and into the valley, then you're looking at Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating subject. It's really fascinating.
It really is. There are so many different wineries producing so many different varietals in our area that it can be a little bit flabbergasting.
Well, it is. It's huge. Even for someone who's a wine collector such as I don't go out and visit them all. I mean, I need to have a life. You know what I mean? I want to have food and wine together as a symbiotic unit. I would spend, you know, day and night trying to get around to all the wineries and taste what they have to offer. It's impossible. So if somebody tells you, Marisa, that he or she is a connoisseur, you can ignore them. There are too many wines out there to be a connoisseur of them.
Well, one thing about the Central Coast Wine Classic that you can offer is the ability to learn more about what's around us. The symposiums that the Wine Classic offers every year, this year, you sort of split the topics between sessions about local varietals and wineries or wines from other places. Tell me a little bit about what somebody might be able to learn about wines from the Central Coast at a symposium.
Well, obviously, Pinot Noir is a hot ticket down here because the wines are incredible. And as you recall, when Frank Ostini and the Hitching Post were in the movie Sideways, and it became a worldwide sensation that directed attention here. But fascinatingly enough, Richard Sanford came here from Berkeley in 1971 and planted Sanford and Benedict Winery at that point. And it was really interesting that he was driving up and down the coast with a thermometer, testing his geographic knowledge and his knowledge of climatics, and got into an incredible location and turned it into an iconic location. So we have a vineyard tour with Richard Sanford. Unfortunately, it's sold out. We have a number of things that are sold out. But we have a Central Coast Pinot Noir symposium that starts roughly in Santa Cruz and runs down to Santa Barbara. There are about seven or eight different wineries in that. It includes Mount Eden, for example. It includes Gary Pisoni, who's in the Santa Lucia Highlands. It includes all kinds of different terroirs, different microclimates, running roughly from Santa Cruz all the way down. Mm-hmm. And so each vintner will be expressing what it is that they're dealing with or feeling great about in that particular location. And we'll be tasting the wine from those.
And you have a Bordeaux varietal symposium and luncheon, Paso Robles Bordeaux varietal.
Yeah, that one is actually going to be at Eberle.
Uh-huh.
And Gary Eberle, as you may remember, I don't know, you're pretty young, aren't you?
No, I know.
You may remember. Gary was part of the first Central Coast Wine Classic in 1985. That was a long time ago. And Gary has been with us ever since, and he supports the community, he supports the event. And so in his caves, he's going to have three or four different wineries. They're going to talk about what is different and what is, well, roughly symbiotic in that area as well. RN Estate, Clos Saline, the farm winery in Eberle. RN Estate, Clos Saline, and the farm were non-existent when we started the Wine Classic. And so out of the four, the godfather of Paso Robles Winery, Gary Eberle, is sort of the shining light at this point. But not necessarily the best.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guest is Archie McLaren, who is the founder and chairman of the Central Coast Wine Classic, which is coming up on August 10th through the 14th, all over San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And we're learning a little bit about what makes the Central Coast a great place for an event like this. And also, what can we learn about what's going on around us? There are all kinds of events at your Wine Classic, from this barrel tasting to winery dinners to the symposiums to auctions. One event that has always intrigued me is the barrel tasting and auction. what I'd like to know is, what's the benefit or interest in tasting and purchasing wine from a barrel before it's finished?
Well, it's actually a look into the future. I mean, it is a fascinating concept. You're basically tasting things that have not been bottled and labeled and put out into the public. So you get the first shot at it, in a sense, and you get the flavors, the textures, all those things that say to you, this is really going to be great. I'm going to grab it while the getting is good. At this particular event, it's held at Greengate Ranch and Vineyard in the Edna Valley. It's a great place. It's right where Bryce Canyon comes together with 227 gorges. It's the former J Stream property that was used for Arabian horses. And it has a wondrous barn on it. And a number of vintners are going to come and bring wine that is from barrel. What they do is they pour it into bottles and they bring it for people to taste. Signer, La Vallée, Sausalito Canyon, Ancient Peaks, Tally, Eberly, Stephen Ross, Lucas and Llewellyn, Ecluse, Cinque Stella, Niner, and Leticia are some of the wineries that are going to be a part of it. We're talking about really extraordinarily fine properties and incredibly good wines as well. And they're not telling us necessarily or telling the public what they're going to be bringing in advance, and so the public gets to go and taste things that are not available yet, and they're going to be surprised by what they taste, and they're going to be pleased by what they walk away with, because we have an auctioneer who will auction a case of wine for everybody who's there who wants to bid to win. And when it's bottled, they get that case.
Wow. So,
and we'll do two cases per barrel, as it were. So if Brian Talley picks a specific barrel, the auctioneer will have paddles raised, and whoever wins that bid gets the first case of that barrel, and whoever the second bidder gets the second case of that barrel, and then they move on to Sausalito Canyon or some other vintner.
How close are these wines in the barrel to being finished wines? Does it vary depending on the barrel?
Well, yeah, it depends. It varies on the vintage and how the vintner sort of tends the barrels, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, it'll be somewhere in the realm of 2014 or so.
Uh-huh. Well, that's fascinating. So as you're tasting these wines from the barrel, you might buy a case of wine that you just have, you're not really sure what it's going to be like when it comes out.
Well,
have
yeah.
a hint.
You'll get a good clue when you taste it.
Yeah. The Central Coast Wine Classic is something that keeps you very busy, I know, especially during the event itself. But do you ever get a chance to attend something and just enjoy it?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I'm always gratified by the event because it's so unique. I mean, there are almost no charity wine auctions that do what we do, not the comprehensive array of things that we do. And by that, I mean not just edifying luncheons and dinners and so forth and so on, but also the educational component that you brought up earlier. And so the panoply of all the things that we present are interconnected, and that interconnection creates a very, very edifying array of things.
Is there any aspect of the Wine Classic that is most gratifying to you personally?
Well, one of them has been over the years with the dinner at Hearst Castle, because when I was the president of the board of the Mozart Festival, I brought on the Hearst Castle marketing director onto the board of the festival, and we created the relationship that joined the Central Coast Wine Classic and the dinner at Hearst Castle, and we've been doing that since 1989. It's quite a while. So this year it's a interesting scene up there too. We'll be in a different place because, as you might be aware, the castle is being renovated in a lot of different places, including the large Roman swimming pool.
Because this Wine Classic is a fundraiser, a lot of the events involve spending money that will go toward supporting these nonprofit organizations. So there will be a lot of people who have the means to do something like that. Are there events during the Wine Classic that might be a little bit more approachable for somebody who doesn't have as much of an advantage, economically speaking.
I guess it's relative in a sense when you're talking about people who are into food and wine. The grants to the beneficiaries are directed to people of lesser means, economic means. The event itself is not, because the event has to create the revenues to support the mission, the vision, which is not just making the expenses of the event, but also conferring some of it on those people who are lesser in economic means.
You mentioned that several of the events are already sold out. Are there particular events that aren't sold out that you think that our audience should know about?
Well, the one that we're particularly concerned about focusing on, which is going to be benefiting the Boys and Girls Club in Atascadero, that's creating a new component, a new parameter of its particular offerings for its kids, is the one at Greengate. And there are two reasons for that, one of which is the fact that it's on a Wednesday in the late afternoon, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's easier for a lot of people to go to something normally on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And so we are trying to promote participation and attendance at that event at Greengate.
And that's the barrel tasting and auction.
Yeah, and it's $75 a person. That's basically the lowest price that we have. We used to do the grand tasting and so forth, but in all honesty, we have drifted away from grand tastings parties, so to speak, and into education.
Yeah, I noticed that there are more symposiums every year.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you tell me who each of the beneficiaries are this year?
Yes, in fact, I can. The Hearst Preservation Foundation, Friends of Hearst Castle, those are the ones that are going to be the beneficiaries of the Fund of Need, the Raise Your Paddle Lot, at the Hearst Castle dinner. And then, as I mentioned to you, there's going to be a new expansion of the Boys and Girls Club of Atascadero. So that'll be the one that's at the Greengate auction. And then down at Santa Barbara, at the Rare and Fine Wine and Lifestyle auction on August the 13th at the Pat Nesbitt Polo Estate, it's going to be the Lenny Fablon Performing Arts Fund. It's a fund that was created in honor of Lenny Fablon, who was an incredible woman, lived to, I believe, 99, age of 99, recently passed, and she supported every performing arts vision imaginable in Santa Barbara, and a lot of it was to help people who didn't have the means to go to something at the Granada Theater or go to something even at UCSB to go as gifts from her. Mm-hmm. She was a special person. Those are the three this year. Studio Arts up at San Simeon, Performing Arts in Santa Barbara, Healing Arts in between.
That's the Central Coast Wine Classic, August 10th through the 14th in San Luis Obispo in Santa Barbara counties. I've been speaking with Archie McLaren, who's the founder and chairman of the Wine Classic. If someone wants to know more, how do they find out information?
It's centralcoastwineclassic.org. That's the easiest way. centralcoastwineclassic.org.
Thank you so much, Archie McLaren.
Thank you, Marisa.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.